The following is a recording from Melanie Carpenter from iAdvise on Wednesday, July 27th, 2016, at 11 a.m. Central. This is the Elementia second quarter 2016. Good morning. My name is Josh, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Elementia second quarter 2016 earnings conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. The Q&A session of the call, which will be conducted via telephone, will initiate when the speakers finalize the presentation. Thank you. I'll now turn the call over to Melanie Carpenter with iAdvise. Ma'am, please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Good day, everyone, and welcome to Elementia's second quarter 2016 earnings conference call. This call is for investors and analysts only. Joining us today from Mexico City are Mr. Fernando Ruiz Jack, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Juan Francisco Sanchez Kramer, Interim Chief Financial Officer and Investor Relations Officer. They will be discussing the company's performance as per the earnings release issued on Monday after the close. If you need a copy of the release, please contact iAdvise in New York at 212-406-3695, and we'll make sure to get you a copy immediately. Also, you can find the report and other information on Elementia's website at elementia.com in the Investor Relations section. I just want to briefly mention that management's comments may include forward-looking statements, and they're based on information that is currently available. Please refer to the disclaimer in the earnings release for more detail and a full disclaimer. Also, all figures discussed are in Mexican pesos, unless otherwise stated. And it's now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mr. Fernando Ruiz Jacques, Chief Executive Officer of Elementia, to begin with the main highlights and a strategic overview. So, Fernando, please go ahead.
Thank you, Melanie, and thanks, everyone, for your interest in Elementia. I'm very pleased to be here to review another strong quarter for our company. In the second quarter of 2016, in line with our guidance and expectations, Elementia reported double-digit EBITDA and operating income growth, coming in 15% and 22% above last year. This performance was driven by the continued growth in both the cement and the metal products division, while headwinds in our building systems division persisted. Given the nature and geography of our businesses, there were a few external challenges that we had to overcome, namely declining commodity prices and the significant exchange rate volatility in our key market of Mexico. In addition, government budget cuts and interest rate increases in Mexico versus flat interest rates in the U.S. and strong global market volatility resulting from Brexit and the deceleration in China's economy presented some obstacles for Elementia. However, I'm very encouraged by the progress we've made in transforming our organization through the successful implementation of our Power of Oneness corporate strategy. The benefits generated by having our divisions working together will help us to continue overcoming what many expect will be a period of continued global volatility. To that end, we held a remarkable event during the second quarter. For the first time in our history, Elementia held a global convention bringing together customers and employees from all 9 countries in which we operate and other countries in which we are present. The theme of the convention focused on strengthening cross-selling operations between the cement, metal products, and building system divisions, and we held various activities such as product demonstrations and networking events. Its success was overwhelming, and we received tremendous feedback and recommendations on areas to develop. We are already beginning to see the positive effects, and will continue to incorporate these types of initiatives. Turning now to our results by division. In the cement division, our high-quality products and Fortaleza's strong brand positioning kept our prices on the top quartile in all the markets we operate in. As a result, cement reported a strong 34% increase in revenues. We believe that cement market conditions in Mexico will continue to drive strong demand despite the government cuts. Moreover, we expect the market to be sufficiently solid as one of the key drivers for these divisions. Remittances from the U.S. continue to make their way into improvements and renovations in the self-construction sector. This will enable us to continue with the current pricing trend. However, it is important to highlight that the expected growth for the remainder of 2016 in terms of volume will be more moderate given that in second quarter 2015 we reached the target capacity utilization rate. Now, this brings me to talk about our expansion plans for the division. The Tula plant project in Hidalgo remains on track in terms of budget and schedule, as there have been no major delays or incidents that would hamper the successful progress of this capacity expansion. As we expressed at the beginning of the year, upon completion of this project in mid-2017, we will increase production capacity by 75% to reach 3.5 million metric tons per year. Turning now to the metal products division, despite the decline in the reference price of copper of more than 20%, Elementia was able to mitigate this through its effective value-added product mix to reflect only a 1% decline in its average price. EBITDA per ton increased by 16% in second quarter 16, benefited by our effective cost initiatives, overall operational excellence, and the return of copper sales to Casa de Moneda in Mexico for minting of coins. Furthermore, we remain focused on developing higher value-added products through innovation, cost optimization initiatives, and metal yields. In fact, we recently signed a supply contract with Home Depot nationwide. And last but not least, the Building Systems Division continues strengthening its global market share in 7 of the 9 countries in which we operate, all with exception of Mexico due to the lack of government projects, and Ecuador, which was affected by the terrible earthquake in April and immediately impacted demand. Furthermore, in second quarter 2016, Colombia reported significant growth compared to 2015, despite the road blockage from the Mass Transit Workers Union since the beginning of June. In the U.S., results came in above last year, even though we had record flooding in parts such as Texas. I'm also happy to report that we strengthened our e-commerce activity in China, Indonesia, and Turkey. I would like to take this opportunity to personally introduce Mr. Juan Luis Alfiero, who we named as our new Director for Building Systems. As you know, I personally have been conducting this role on an interim basis, and it took us some time to find just the right candidate. I am positive that Juan Luis is that candidate, as he brings vast experience in the construction industry at the global level, which is truly what we need to consolidate the division. Before turning the call to Juan Francisco for some additional color on our earnings, I would like to review on our outlook for the remainder of the year. Overall, on a consolidated basis, we expect our profitable growth trend to continue. In the cement and metal products divisions, we anticipate strong growth, yet slightly more moderate than to what we had in the first half, driven by similar factors that caused growth during the first 6 months of the year. However, in building systems, we might experience a positive bump from the return of some government programs in the remainder of the year. It is important to highlight that even without this government project, we estimate figures for this division to be similar to the ones in the second half of 2015. We are already taking actions in order to offset any obstacles with some of the following initiatives. In the U.S., we began selling to large building contractors. In El Salvador, we introduced water tanks into our product portfolio. In Colombia, we duplicated our water tank capacity. Some of our products have been set as guidelines for the Mexico City Airport project. We will also begin operations in Chilca, Peru this November. And finally, we expect global growth in the lightweight frame construction segment, specifically in the U.S. and Latin America. We are confident that the decisions we have made to make us a more profitable company and the decisions we're taking every day to improve the overall business are the right ones and bring us even ever closer to our objective. Thank you very much for your attention, and I will turn the call over to Juan Francisco Sánchez Kramer. Please, Juan, go ahead.
Thank you, Fernando, and hello, everyone. As Fernando states, these quarter results represent our efforts as a team to successfully carry out the company's corporate strategy, resulting in another period of double-digit growth in our EBITDA and operating income. Let me begin by giving you an overview of this quarter's profit and loss statement. In the second quarter of 2016, Elementia's consolidated revenues increased 6% year-over-year, reaching $4.38 billion, reflecting the sales price increase in the cement and building system divisions. This line item also increased 6% during the first half of 2016. Consolidated revenues are broken down by region as follows: 75% from Mexico and the U.S., 17% in South America, 6% in Central America, and the remaining 2% in the rest of the world. Let me expand a bit regarding the performance of each division. Beginning with the cement division, which reported revenues of $755 million in the second quarter, 16, which represents an increase of 34% compared to $563 million in the second quarter, 15. Additionally, EBITDA was $320 million, up 35% during the same period. Both the division's net sales and EBITDA benefited from higher average sales price, an optimal capacity utilization rate, and operating efficiencies. As you notice from our report, we are not including volume and price variation for this division due to market condition and its potential impact on our strategy, most of all considering that the startup of the new capacity for the division. From now on, we will not disclose this information, but understanding the investors' market expectations, we will try to give you as much color on it as we can. In the metal products division, we remain focused on higher value products, and therefore the contribution to margins in US dollar per ton increased versus 2015. As proof of this, our average sales price declined by only 1% despite a 20% drop in the reference price of copper. We continue with our copper hedging strategy of 2,000 tons per month in order to mitigate negative effects on inventory revaluation in the event of rapid copper price declines. I would like to stress that revenues as well as the sales price for this division are not correlated to our business performance, but to the international reference price of copper. Therefore, in second quarter 16, net sales declined by 5%, reaching $1.88 billion, mainly due to the lower reference price and less volume sold. However, this was offset by greater sales volume of higher value products and cost optimizations resulting from initiatives to improve metal yields. The reasons, in addition to the strengthening of the US dollar, contributed to a 16% increase in EBITDA, reaching $308 million in the second quarter 16. The Building Systems Division reported revenues of $1.8 billion in the second quarter 2016, up 8% year-over-year, thanks to improved performances in all of the countries in which we operate, except for Mexico and Ecuador. However, we anticipate a potential turnaround for these two countries in the second half of 2016. In Mexico, we might benefit from the government contract expected to begin in the remainder of the year. And in Ecuador, We might profit from a one-time government subsidy of $10,000 per household for home repairs following the devastating earthquake there in April. We expect this subsidy program to begin in the upcoming months. The average price for this division increased 11% year over year, which helped to offset the sales volume decline that took place during the quarter. In terms of EBITDA, the division registered $269 million, 9% lower than in 2015, mainly caused by the decline in Mexico from the delayed government projects. As well, as we mentioned in the previous quarter, timing of recurring government projects varies from year to year, and so we expect it to occur during the second half of 2016. Moving now to consolidated cost of goods sold, for the second quarter 16 increased 1% to $3.25 billion, while revenues increased 6%. The cost optimization was mainly due to operational efficiencies initiatives across all three divisions, raw material price fluctuation, and higher volume sold. The 18% increase in SG&A resulted from an increase in marketing expenses, non-recurring costs to improve operating efficiencies, and expenses generated during the implementation of the go-to-market and zero-based budgeting projects. Also, as stated in our IPO prospectus, from the bargain purchase gain from the acquisition of CyberCement assets in the U.S. that reduced our 2015 figures. Moving on, consolidated EBITDA rose 13%, reaching $1.68 billion in the 6 months of 16. In terms of EBITDA by division and excluding the holding, cement represented 35%, metal products 35% also, and building systems 30%. EBITDA margin for the second quarter 16 was 19% versus 18% last year. Finally, Elementia reported net loss of $26 million for the 6 months of 16, mainly due to the impact of exchange rate fluctuations in the company dollar-denominated debt. Nonetheless, improvements to the company's financial costs resulting from the severe payment in the fourth quarter 15, more favorable terms obtained for the revolving credit line, and the hedging of 20% of the international bond. Turning now to the balance sheet, cash and cash equivalents as of June 30, 2016, reached $2.9 billion, a decline of 6% compared to year-end 2015, mainly due to the investments in the capacity expansion project in the cement division, which, by the way, is performing according to plan in both budget and schedule. I would like to state that the company continues to have a strong position in U.S. dollars. As such, during the second quarter 16, close to 60% of its cash was in dollar basis. Elementia's debt position reached $9.17 billion compared to $8.39 billion as of December 31, 2015, due to the negative impact of the Mexican peso devaluation on its dollar-denominated debt. In accordance with the company's financial strategy of keeping a solid and flexible balance sheet, net debt to EBITDA ratio was 1.96 times, and interest coverage was 5.56 times, all within the covenant set by the financial institutions. Moreover, at June 30, 2016, 99% of gross debt is long-term. We continue to strive for full equilibrium in U.S. dollar terms by keeping the resources generated by our dollar-based operations in the cash position. We will also continue implementing our hedging strategy and will further take advantage of our capacity expansion in the U.S. to bolster these flows. What is more, we are truly focused on organic and inorganic growth strategy. Therefore, to have the financial position and funds necessary to take advantage of any opportunities, we did two things. First, on June 30, 2016, we signed an ECA facility agreement with Santander for nearly up to $110 million with semi-annual payments. It is important to mention that this credit line will not substantially rise Elementia's leverage levels. And second, more than 90% of our cash position is being held in North America while keeping the minimum cash levels necessary in other countries in which we operate. In terms of the progress of our debt hedging strategy, on April 29, we carried out the second hedging tranche for 10% of the company's international bonds, reaching 20%. In terms of our capex for the period, we spent $1.8 billion in the first half of the year, but because of the strong cash flow generation, we only utilized close to $200 million of our cash balance for this. Elementia continued to focus on strengthening its financial position, discipline, and so we are exploring acquisition options in the countries in which we operate. In this regard, we hope to have a positive news in the coming quarters. As we look ahead, we will continue searching for ways to enhance our leadership in the regions and markets we serve. Our sound financial position gives us the capability to continue seeking opportunities for regional expansion and product diversification to drive long-term sustainable growth across our three divisions. And with that, I conclude my comment and ask the operator to please open the floor for your questions.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for your questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touch-tone phones now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, just press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 now. And we have our first question coming from Juan Tavares from Citigroup.
Hi, thank you. Good morning. My first question is regarding the metals division. You mentioned that you sold a bit more of the higher value-added products. Could you give us a sense of how much of your volumes in that segment were in that category of high value-added and how that compares to last quarter? And also in Mexico, regarding the government programs, since you mentioned that there is some volatility there in those sales, but you're expecting a recovery in the second half, can you give us a sense of how much of your sales last year came from these government programs and how much you're expecting to represent for this quarter as well? Thank you.
Hi, Juan. Thank you for the question. Let me start with the metal divisions. Let me put it like this. We have been having an average of 20% of our volume sold to be in the commodity base, and the rest has been moving on towards higher value specialties. In this second quarter in particular, we have lesser commodity volume and higher value added for two main reasons. For one, we started in June back again supplying the Casa de Moneda in Mexico. And second, we have more copper alloy pipes for the word in Spanish is compensadores, is compensation. For the U.S. Market. So those two main issues drive our volume of higher value products up, back up. For your question on the government programs that took place in the first half of 2015, Fernando would like to comment.
Regarding the building systems division in Mexico, if you see it as a whole, these government projects represent 5% of the total volume. If you see it in Mexico, only in Mexico, it is close to 30% of the sales.
And you're expecting that same type of contribution for this year? So far in the first half, it seems like it's below trend, right? I'm not sure if you expect that to catch up in the second half.
It is a big program that we have been awarded for the last couple of years. So we have been awarded 3 times already this program. We are expecting to have this program again in the next couple of months. I mean, there has been a lot of movement, but nothing has been concluded. So we expect, as I told you, that we will be awarded with this project again. But our worst-case scenario, as I stated when I was going through my initial reading, is that we expect to have at least the same volume as that of last year without the government project. If we are to be awarded with this project, we will definitely have a very interesting growth there.
Also, it is important to highlight that we are improving revenues and volume sold through the network in order to mitigate these programs that, as Fernando mentioned, are quite important, but do not have the same seasonality in the year.
Great, thank you. That's very helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Cecilia Jimenez from Santander.
Yes, hi, good morning, everyone. Congrats on the results. I actually have 2 questions. First, regarding the cement division and the expansion in Tula plant. So should we expect margin contraction already in first Q 2017 due to the ramp-up process, or should we see it already in second half of the year? That's my first question. And then the second question is regarding the findings of the Boston Consulting Group study, what are the main findings of that study? And I believe SKU reduction was one of them. When should we see those, improvements taking place and materializing on your results? Finally, a follow-up on that. What is the improvement we should see in building system division from a EBITDA margin perspective? Thanks.
Thank you, Cecilia. This is Juan Francisco, and let me begin with the cement expansion. It is, as we mentioned, going according to plan in both budget and schedule, so we are quite confident of the startup in mid-17. To your question on when should we expect margin decline, we are expecting margins to be a little bit lower probably by the end of the year, and the lowest point of the margin that we expect is probably in the third quarter 17, given that it will be starting up roughly from scratch and ramping up. So as long as we reach the full capacity utilization rate, margins will be impacted by this. Having said that, we are expecting a potential ramp-up of about 2.5 years. So if we start in mid-17, by the end of 2019, we should be back on full margin recovery.
Okay, regarding Sassy, your question about BTG, as you know, we already finished the analysis we conducted with this consulting company. We are already in the implementation phase. I could give you, some key findings. I would not like to spend a lot of it because it involves a lot of our strategy. But what I can I tell you is that we found out that, for instance, 80% of our sales done in Mexico are done only in 5 states, so we have a great opportunity area there. 95% of our sales were with 30 SKUs, and we have more. We used to have more than 3,000 SKUs. So basically, with this study, we're having a lot of focus, and we know now where to target. We have a clear strategy, and as I told you, we are already in the implementation phase.
And in the U.S., the only thing I can tell you is that we also found a lot of opportunities. We are very happy about the findings we found. And today, basically, we're focusing to big builders. Now, big builders, there was a tremendous opportunity there. These guys manage great part of the volume that is being sold in the U.S. So we already started with this strategy, and hopefully we will harvest the things that we're planting today in the near future.
Perfect. That's very clear. Thank you. Maybe just a third question, if I may. Recently, there was the announcement of a home improvement store from Chile coming to Mexico. So my question is, do you see that as a threat, or is it actually a possibility to have another distribution channel to put your products in Mexico? I'm talking specifically about Home Center, Sodimac, yes.
Okay, good question. What we see, I mean, for us, we see it as another distribution channel, no? So we do not see it as any risk for us. So we know about the quality of this company. It's a great company, so we do not see any risk for our operation.
Okay.
We have already talked to them. So I mean, we see a nice opportunity to increase our sales using that channel.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lucille.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Omar Rodriguez from Credit Suisse.
Hello, everyone. Congratulations on the results. First of all, I would like to ask if you could provide us some color on the contribution of the ready mix in the cement division for 2Q15 and 2Q16, and in terms of sales, I mean. And on the cost side, I would like to see if you could tell us how much of the cost of production of the division are variable versus the amount that is fixed. And, well, I have some other two questions for metals and building systems, but I don't know if you prefer to answer those questions first.
Yeah, Miomar, thank you for your question. To your question of the contribution of ready mix, what I can tell you is by second quarter 15, we only have one ready mix plant in operation. By this second quarter 16, we were operating four facilities. As you know, these facilities are small, but certainly the incremental volume was relevant because of this. Now, three more. In total, as I mentioned, we are focusing on self-construction, so we will keep the ready mix operations in a small level. We are not planning to increase it too much. Probably one or two more of these facilities, and probably that will be all. This, of course, is moving the figures for the full division, but I mean, in this variation. To your question on how much is variable and how much is fixed, let me try to explain it in a different way. In general terms, the cost of cement, about 50% of the total cost is energy, that is mainly electricity and fuels. About 25% is raw materials, and the remaining 25% is maintenance, labor, etc., etc. So you can say that about 25% is fixed and 75% is variable. Of course, there are some pieces of electricity and other items that also are fixed. So this is just rough numbers.
Sure. Yeah, no, that's great. Thank you. And on the metal division, just a question about the EBITDA per ton profitability increase. Could you give us some color of how much was it because of less or higher efficiencies in the production, and how much of the improvement came from a better sales mix?
Okay. For the full incremental FDA, about 20% of the increase, 25% of the increase, was due to this improvement on metal yield. Another 10% or so was other initiatives that were cutting costs, namely reducing inventories and inventory variations, etc. Another important topic of this, or the incremental EBITDA, was of course the value added. So we have higher volumes of product with much more higher EBITDA per ton contribution. And lastly, the FX impact on the business, given that is fully 100% dollarized.
Okay, great. And just the last one on building systems. Could you give us an idea of how the market share has evolved for Alura in the U.S.? And I remember that there was some pricing catch-up that could be done over there, so I don't know if you could also tell us how is that progressing?
Okay, so Omar, honestly, I would not like to for strategic reasons, I would not like to go in that. But what I can tell you is that we have increased our volume more in a double-digit basis. So we are on the right track. So our volume has increased more than double-digit. So in double-digit basis, so we're on the right track.
Great. Thank you very much, guys.
Sure.
Thank you. Again, if anyone would like to ask a question, please press star 1 now. Our next question comes from Hernan Kislev from MetLife.
Hello, good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking my questions. I have actually two questions. The first one is regarding the search of the new CFO, if you could provide us an update on that. The second one is regarding the cost in the building system division. Because even though prices rose 11% year over year and sales grew 5%, there still was a decrease in EBITDA margin of 1 percentage point. So I would like to know what is the cost dynamic or what is driving this compression in margins there. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Jesus. Let me address your first question, and Juan Francisco will address the second one. So, regarding the CFO position, what I can tell you is that we are still in the process of looking for the right candidate. We want to make sure that whoever fills out this role will be the best fit for our company and bring best experience in the construction industry. And just let me add that Juan Francisco has been doing an exceptional job of interim CFO, so I have absolutely no worries in that matter for the moment.
Your second question, Hernan, as you well mentioned, that we have a greater cost on SG&A for the division. The two main reasons are, in cost, it is regarding to right-sizing of some operations, and given that we do not have the government projects, in particular in Mexico, there are fixed costs that are not being absorbed. The second one is in SG&A, and as I mentioned, the main three reasons are marketing and the cost or expenses related to the implementation of two main projects, the go-to-market and the zero-based budgeting. And also there is some distortion, to put it in a way, in terms of comparison, because in 2015 we had the benefit of the bargain acquisition or the acquisition at bargain price for the fiber cement assets in the U.S.
Okay, thank you very much. And a follow-up on the building system division. in previous quarters, you mentioned that you were going up in the learning curve in the automatization process in Central America. So I would like to know if you are done with it, if you are operating normally now, or we should expect more improvements coming from this area.
Okay. For once, the project that we mentioned last quarter is completed. We completed the automatization of Costa Rica and El Salvador facilities. There is still room for improvement in other operations, and we are doing and analyzing several opportunities to improve our cost position. So you might expect something about this in the near future. We will let you know once that it starts.
Also, just to let you know, we are currently making some investments as well in Mexico and in Colombia, mainly also to improve our operating costs. So hopefully we will finish that by the end of this year.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Thank you. Again, if anyone would like to ask a question, please press star 1 now. Again, that is star 1 if you would like to ask a question. At this time, I'm showing no further questions. I'd like to turn the call back to Mr. Fernando Ruiz for any closing remarks.
Thank you, operator, and once again, thank you all for your interest in Elementia. As always, we remain available should you have any further questions, so please contact Juan Francisco or myself, and we'll be happy to answer them. Have a nice rest of the day. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.